We're going to begin again looking into the scriptures. We're teaching on divine healing. And last week, God wanted me to bring across the fact of as identifying ourselves in Jesus Christ's ministry. If we're going to walk in healing and health, is one of the things we want to do is look at Jesus' ministry of healing. Majority of the church looks at the healing ministry of Jesus. When they look at it, they look as if this was God doing all this stuff. It was Jesus was acting out as God. And we find from scriptures that's not true. Jesus operated as a man. And that's why he said in John the 14th chapter, the works that he did will do also. Because if he did his because he was God, the last I checked, you're not God and neither am I. So if we have to become God to do them, it means it would never happen. I don't believe Jesus lied. I don't believe Jesus was just trying to say some nice things. Jesus was telling us what we would be able to do, that man would be able to do in this earth. And, Jesus Christ as a man in the earth was a healer. And if we're supposed to identify ourselves as with him, then we would have to be healers. That would be part of what we would do. That would be emphasis. We also looked at Jesus' ministry of teaching and preaching the word. And I just want to emphasize this before I go any further. You need to understand this about people and ministering healing. Many people want healing, but they don't want you to take the time to listen to the word. You need to look them in the face and tell them, you know, you're wasting your time pretty much at this. Jesus' main ministry, it says his custom was to teach and preach. That was his custom. The custom is to teach and preach the word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we're going to be looking at this concerning healing. We started with last week, and we're going to go back to scriptures we used last week. Because if people, there's going to be any kind of success, the word must be preached. And we got to, you know, lots of times, too many Christians, and even spirit-filled Christians, don't know the scriptures on healing. And they can't share them with people. You should be able to share scriptures with people. I'm going to tell you this, if you don't know the scriptures, you ain't going to walk in health and you ain't getting healed. So some people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, then what do you do to get healed? Because if you don't know what it is, you ain't getting healed either. You know, I can tell people how to get saved. I don't need to go to a special class. I know what I did to get saved. And I know if I tell somebody what I did, it'll work for them. I can tell them what I had to believe. I don't get why people need all these special stuff for this special things. I mean, my God, it would mean if I wouldn't know how to tell somebody else to get saved, I would have to check to see if I am. How'd I get there? What did I hear? See, we need to, there needs to be a little knock on the door upstairs here a little bit, I think, you know, waking the people up. I from the time I was a young Christian, it was logic to me to share with people what I knew and what I could do. I didn't need a special class on it. I didn't need to have, you know, I often get it. People say, well, you know, I don't know how to share with people. My God, are you saved? Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? And you know, it's just, that's what I did. I would just, you know, I'd just go preach what I knew. Hallelujah, and it would work. We want to go back over to Matthew, the 9th chapter, because we're going to look into this areas where Jesus dealing in healing talked about people's faith. But there's the emphasis I want to make this morning on this for you is in the scriptures here. We're looking at this one here where two blind men came along. And there's some things that God wants me to specifically bring out in here into dealing in the areas of faith. I want you to understand this. Faith always has action to it. Faith always has action to it. There's no such thing as believing something and not having action. As James said, faith without works or faith without corresponding action, it's dead. It won't work. There's actions that go along with faith. You know, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession. You got to make a confession. You can believe something. There's many people in hell today who believe Jesus was Lord, but have never confessed him and made him Lord and Savior. They never got saved. I don't care what you believe. If you don't have action to it, it produces nothing. Understand this about confession. We'll talk about confession later on, but I just want to say this. to you, your faith will never grow further than your confession. Your faith will never go, never. I don't care what you believe. It's what you be saying is what's going to take you to where you want to go. It's what you're saying. Another thing is because we confess not just for somebody else. We confess to maintain ourselves in our faith. If you don't make faith confessions, if you're not doing that kind of thing and you don't do that, then you don't say those things, you're always going to have areas of weakness in faith. You're going to be weak. You got to talk things and say things. See, it's one of the great fortunes that I love about being preaching the Word of God is the fact that I'm saying things. I'm making confessions all the time. I make confessions. See, lots of times I make confession about things and people think, well, he's just saying that, you know, he might think he's a big deal. I've had people, you know, say that about me. They don't realize I'm doing that more for my benefit than yours. Get over it. It benefits me to make bold confessions about what God will do. If you don't, you'll never have what the person who makes the bold confession will have. You'll never have it. You have to get around and, you know, we have to get over this fear concerning people. Now, I want to look at Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 27. And I want you to look here. Jesus, we used this last week. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. It says, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. So Jesus said it was according what to their faith. We talked about that language. It was according to their faith. Just Jesus didn't say it was according to my power. It was according to, you know, whatever. You know, people got all kinds of ideas. He said, according to your faith. You need to understand this. These examples are put in the Bible for a purpose for us. Now, like we read last week, that Jesus did enough things that they said, John said if they wrote them all down, he'd know if the earth could contain the books it would take to write it in. But now these are the examples given to us. These are the things that God put for us. So we don't need volumes and volumes of books. He put enough in here that we ought to get the pattern of how it works. And the pattern of how it works, he said, your faith. You need to understand this. In a sense, just like if we would talk about electricity. In fact, John G. Lake said, you know, he talked about electricity is God's power in the natural realm. And he and the anointing, God's anointing and that stuff. That in the spiritual realm, that's his power. And in the same sense that I come in here this morning and turn these lights off on with a switch. That's what faith is. You can know this. If you're never getting any power coming to you, you never turn the switch on, you don't have faith. Faith always turns. Just like I come in here, this building here, if there's electric come this building, the light switches work every time. You flip them and turn them on and off and on and off, the lights go on and off. Faith is exactly as the same reliable, is just as reliable, and well, let's just put it this way. This earth and these switches are temporal. Faith is eternal. We could say faith is more reliable than a light switch because it'll work forever. It'll never quit working. Now, these individuals here, he said their faith made them whole. In other words, there's something that they had to do. Didn't matter how much we know this, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. We read it. But that power didn't do anything till somebody threw the switch, and the switch is faith. It was faith is the switch. And it's a shame because most Christians don't even know what faith is. They'll just give you another synonym of what it all means to believe. Well, believe. What do you do with your believing? What do you do? The Bible tells us to make a confession concerning believing. Most people believe things and never, they say they believe something but never confess it. Or if they say they believe something, they say the wrong things. So, but we understand that power. Now, I want you to understand this because what the Lord wants me to emphasize this morning here with these, and we're going to look at some other ones, is Jesus, and if you go back and read the rest of the chapter, Jesus was in Capernaum, and what he had done is he was going, Jairus came to him and asked him to come to his house because his daughter was dying. Then a woman with the issue of blood stopped him, and then she got healed, which we'll talk about her later on. Then Jairus, Here Jesus went to his house. When he's talking about here, he left Jairus' house. Now I want you to see this. He left Jairus' house. And when we opened up, the statement was said in verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, that was Jairus' home. He left there. It says, two blind men followed him crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now I want you to see this. These two guys are saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. He didn't stop. You know, some of the most important, this is one of the most important things in scriptures concerning healing, yet the church generally knows nothing about it. Nothing. We read these stories and pass by all this stuff. Now, what would you think today if somebody started crying out here in church, you know, I want you to show me, and I just ignored them? Oh, I'd be the bad guy. I would be so bad. Jesus wouldn't be like today in the church. The passive church hates the real Jesus. If anybody acts like the real Jesus, they will definitely crucify him today as quick as they would back then. Because the church in general does not understand spirituality. They don't understand it. They don't understand how you get spiritual. They don't understand how you arrive at faith and being able to walk in faith. And I want you to understand this thing. Jesus didn't. These men followed. This is one of the things that you're going to find out, because we're going to use some other examples. God is always going to lead you to stretch your faith. He's always going to lead you to go further. Always. This is where most people fail and why they don't get healed, why they don't get the blessings they want, because people get offended right away and they get upset when things just don't work immediately for them. And God's trying to lead them to a higher faith so they can get what they want, and people won't go with it. People today want everything easy. They want it really simple. You know, I got to have it. It got to be easy to do. And if I have to do something. These men, it's one thing is Jesus is dealing with these guys. Now understand, they're blind. You know, they're going along blind yelling at Jesus. And like I said, you know, last week, these guys aren't walking. They don't have white canes. They got curbs so they can tell where they're walking at, and they know where they're on the sidewalk and that stuff. They don't have this. These guys are following along after Jesus. They want something and they're yelling out for it. And see, this is one thing about faith. We find out, really, these guys, does somebody really want it? Do they really want it? Think about this. Jesus, these guys were in the crowd with a woman with the issue of blood got healed. They were in that crowd. They didn't get healed in that crowd, did they? Nope. They followed Jesus. You see, it's number one, Jesus is acting in line with them. See, the woman with the issue of blood, we'll talk about her later. She believed that she went and touched Jesus, she'd get healed. These guys are going to have exactly what they're believing. And you need to understand this. Your faith is going to determine what you get, not God. God don't determine what you get. Your faith does. These guys are in the crowd. You know what? If they would have believed that they could touch his garment and be healed, they could have got healed that way. But they didn't. They didn't get healed that way. And so, praise God. We want to continue looking at this. Is these individuals, these guys are coming along, supposedly walking by faith. They're following after Jesus, and they're making confession, and their confession is, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he just keeps trotting. He just keeps trotting along. Do they really want this? What are they going to do to get it? Are they just going to stop along the way? Are they going to use my blindness as a reason I don't have to go after it? Understand this about faith. Faith is never passive. Faith is always active. This is one of the reasons we have such a hard time with faith in the church world today, because most Christians are passive. When it comes to Christianity, comes to faith, most Christians are passive. They've been taught to be passive. They've been taught, well, you know, if God wants us to have it, he will have it, you know. And, they don't understand when Jesus said about the kingdom, the violent take it by force. They have no clue what that means, because it's all passiveness. We're pacifists. This is what we are. We like peace. We don't like any kind of problems. Please don't yell in the streets. Don't yell, have mercy on me. Don't yell that. Don't do these things. Don't be aggressive to go after something you want. A good Christian is always passive. Well, you aren't going to do well in the faith arena. These guys have to keep yelling. Jesus is not the minister of today. The ministers of the today, they believe it's their job is every time you cry, he comes and runs to you. This guy don't. The Bible says, you know, that if you have any sick among you, let them call the elders of church. 99.9% of Christians would never call the elder. The elders always have to call on them, find out what's going on and what's happening, always. Why? The passive church. Passive faith that produces nothing. Always passive. Always passive. I learned this as a young Christian. Saw these things in the scripture. Had a wonderful teacher, Kenneth E. Hagin. And I realized you're going to have to go after something. You got a devil and you got God. And I'm going to tell you what. There's a fight with getting a hold and hanging on to things of God. And you're going to have to want it. You're not going to get it passively. It won't happen. Jesus walked along. He's making these guys be active in their faith and not be passive, not using their illness as a stone to put in front of other people. So you have to trip in front of me because you need to treat me different because I have something wrong with me and I'm special. Special people always stay special. They never get changed. People love their specialness. Jesus is in a healing ministry. He's not in the special ministry. People love their special. This person. You ever think about today? We get somebody the devil attacks and we say they're special. You talk about stupid, ignoramus people. They're special. If they're special, why would we want them ever to be well or do anything? Why would we ever want that? They're so special. We don't stop and say, you know what? Look what the devil did. You know, there's a woman that Jesus ministered to. She was bent over and couldn't stand up. And he went and said, this daughter of Abraham, it's been all these years. She's been under the attack of Satan. Today, no, they're special. They're special. They're special. You know, that's the devil's work. That ain't special. That's the curse. No, it's special. You keep teaching people they're special. They don't ever want to get rid of their stuff. They don't ever get out. And you'll keep them bound up all their lives. Jesus is moving along. Do these guys want it? They come into the house. They follow him into the house. These guys are after it. These guys are after it and they want them. And this is why he says to them, your faith made you whole. He made these guys come after it. He made them extend their faith. He made them do something. God's always going to do that to you. He's going to make you extend your faith. You know, you might start off and God will do some things for you, you know, because we're whining babies, you know, but you know, that's why he won't. He'll make you extend yourself. He'll always make you go further. That's what he did. That's how he taught me, and that's how he started me off. Now, I want you to look. There's in Matthew, the 15th chapter, as I want to read to you here. Matthew, yeah, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. Okay, Matthew, the 15th chapter. Verse 21, it says there, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region, cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he answered her not a word. Look at this mean guy. He's called the Good Shepherd. Wow, that buzzard, he just don't fall down in front of everybody and whimper. What's wrong with this guy? What does he do? He says, but he answered her not a word. Now, his disciples don't understand what's going on. You know, that always amazes me. You know, I could surely walk as well as Peter or James or John. I could easily walk as well. Because I'm going to tell you, those boys were dumb as a stick. I thought I was dumb when I come into the kingdom. I mean, those guys walked with Jesus and still didn't get it most of the time. They took the fact that Jesus has not answered her, and here's their carnal thought. Send her away from, for she cries after us. In other words, we don't want her coming along after us. We don't want her coming. You know what? They don't recognize faith. We know this with the disciples. They didn't recognize faith a lot of the times. They didn't recognize what was going on. I can just tell you this today. Most Christians and most Spirit-filled Christians can't recognize faith. They don't know when it's going on. They don't know when faith's happening. They can't tell when somebody's just blowing religious wind or somebody's saying talking about faith. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between the two. You got to learn to know what faith. I'll tell you what, I studied and I know what faith is because I've learned how to walk in it. And I can tell when there's faith or there's not faith. You should be able to tell when there's faith and not faith. You should be able to understand it and see it. You ain't going to ever help much and minister to other people when you can't recognize faith. You don't know if the person's ready to get something or not. You'll never know. You have to be able to recognize faith. You got to be able to see when a person's believing. The disciples, they didn't recognize it. They didn't know what it was. But he answered and said, and Jesus says this, now look, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he says to him, look, and that was Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was the lost house of Israel. He was first sent to them. Now that didn't mean he couldn't do anything for anybody else, but he's making a statement to her. He's stretching this woman to go further. He's going to prove something through her. So he cries out. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, she didn't come and say, offend. She didn't come. Well, who do you think you are? My daughter needs help and you won't help her. What does she do? She comes and worships him. See, most people get offended. They get offended. Somebody don't give them what they want right away. They get offended. They don't come. They don't come after and try to find a way to get what they want. They'll immediately go over and start knocking whoever it is that won't give them what they want. She didn't. This woman is not. She's identified who can give her what she wants, and she's willing to do anything that she needs to do to get that from him. She'll bow down and kiss his feet or do anything. She is not full of pride. The number one problem in the church today is prideful people. The church is filled with pride. People who think they got something and ain't got nothing. She's not full of pride. She just, what did she do? She came down and worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, she's looking for healing, deliverance for her daughter. See, we used communion. We had bread today. See, deliverance, healing and deliverance is the children's bread. It's our bread. It's the sustenance of the church. Healing, deliverance is. It's the children's bread. It's what was given to us by God. Jesus is talking about his deliverance and healing ministry, and he said, this is the children's bread. Now you go back and look in the cultures there and that stuff. Bread was the staple of eating of everything. Bread was the staple. In other words, healing and deliverance is the staple of the church. Well, it's supposed to be. It's the staple of the church. It is not today. It is people are eating lollipops and eating ice cream. That's the church today. The staple of the church has no bread anymore. They've left out the deliverance and the healing, the staple. They're offering ice cream. They offer, God loves you so much you can live any old way you want, do whatever you want, and it's all going to work, and he just loves you. Ice cream, popsicles, you know, lollipops. You got it. You get all the stuff. But there's no deliverance. Deliverance is a staple of the church. He said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And listen to this woman. I'm going to tell you what. There's one thing you're always going to find out about somebody who has faith. There's wisdom. Faithless people have no wisdom. This woman has more wisdom than the disciples had. See, she's over in the arena. She's walking in the arena of faith. They're walking in the arena of natural. All they got is natural wisdom. This woman come up with wisdom. This woman come up with a wisdom Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus' reply, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Never one time did Jesus ever tell any of his disciples they had great faith. Never one time. Never once. Yet he has told other people that they had great faith, but never their disciples once. They never even got any good sense till he was raised from the dead. And I'm really surprised how many Christians get saved and live their whole life with no sense. Loads of them. No sense. You can't, if you're not walking in faith, you're not going to have a lot of sense to the kingdom, of how the kingdom works, and knowing how to walk and flow in this kingdom. You're never going to have the wisdom of the kingdom, because it's all by faith. And it comes by walking in faith. The wisdom comes. Jesus. Oh, woman, great is your faith. He kept going along. He got this woman stretched out there in faith. Everybody, look, I believe he did this for our, this is for our example, for us to look at, for us to see today. He got her out there stretched. This woman's faith, he stretches her further and her faith changes not. He stretches her, he just keeps, she's in faith, she can keep going. See, the people that aren't in faith, they quit right away. You know, I went to many ends meeting the last time, but I didn't get anything. I don't understand. See, I do, faithless. Oh, you say that to them, you hurt me. I want to go to another church because you hurt me here in this church. You said things that hurt me. Yeah, to probably stretch you to faith, and you sure don't want that because you're Mr. or Mrs. Hurt. It's like one minister said, one of the worst problems we have in the church today is the hurt Christians, because all they do is go from place to place carrying their hurts. And we keep trying to minister their hurts instead of tell them you need the devil cast out of you because you're selfish, self-centered, worried about you all the time, about your hurts. Get over it. You ain't going to ever do nothing for God. You're going to get hurt. Jesus said, you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. People are going to do stuff. Dear Lord, you can't get upset about it. You just go on. When you find Christians who always tell you who hurt them, you know this, they've never forgiven. And their problem ain't the person that hurt them. They're their worst enemy. They are. This woman, she is going to get something. You know, I just can imagine how stupid the disciples felt after this thing took place. How dumb they felt. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't catch on quick because they did other dumb stuff. But dumb people don't always catch on. Understand this, Jesus raised the dead and appeared to his disciples, and before he left the earth, he rebuked them for their unbelief because they wouldn't believe Mary and them when they told her he was raised from the dead. These guys live with us. He didn't say, oh, you great faith guys. You faithless bunch. You've been walking with me all these years and you still don't believe nothing. Dear Lord. So, see, one thing is, I've always said that if you don't know the Bible and you really don't understand the Bible, you get discouraged. I never get discouraged reading the Bible. I read the Bible and think, my God, if these guys can make it, I can make it, no sweat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got more wisdom than these boys have. But I want you to see this. Jesus is always going to stretch us out to take us to something further. And you have to let him do it. You got to let him take, you know, don't get over in this thing. People get offended so much today. They want the thing as soon as I want it. And they don't understand. They don't let people take them any further. They just want to walk in the level. You know, it's like I had a woman who would come to me a number of times and she said to me over the years, she said, I just don't understand why, you know, I'd get healed when I was a young Christian. I don't get healed anymore. And I just said, I'm no rocket scientist out of this, but I said, I just tell this, you've never grown in faith. I said, I know that, you've never grown in faith. See, she keeps trying to do what she did as a baby. God ain't going to do that. He's going to stretch her out further. He wants her to go to something higher. She wants us to keep going back to that. God ain't being mean to her. It would be mean to a child to never teach him how to tie a shoe, never how to walk, that would be mean. That's evil. It isn't, well, you know, I don't want my child to walk. They might fall down, skin their knees. Darn, they're going to skin their knees. Get it over with. God's always going to try to stretch us out. Why? He wants to give us more. If your faith don't grow, you're always limited where you are. And I will guarantee you this. If you don't grow from that, you'll end up with even less than what you had before. Even what you have, the scripture says, will be taken from you. I know Christians that have started off in things years ago, and man, they have had a lot taken from them since. They have gone nowhere. They've gone nowhere. We're not going to do that. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Our faith is going somewhere. Glory to God. You know, this is one of the things. It's like the Lord stretched me. Now, I don't. One of the things that really sort of helped me along was one of the things, I knew I was called to the ministry, and I realized looking back, there was a lot of things that the Lord did and worked in me and had me do was because of coming to the place to be able to teach and minister in these areas. You know, I don't sit down and listen to healing stuff taught by people who don't know how to get it and who they can't make it work. I don't listen to their teaching because where are they going to take me to? I listen to people who know how to make it work. You know, it's like to me, I want to learn something about faith, you know, get a Charles Capps tape or go ahead and get Charles Capps' book and read it. You'll learn a few things. You know, it's like, wow. You know, you get some people. Not somebody comes along who heard. I don't care about the guy that heard about it. I don't care a guy who studied it in the Word. It is doing it is where, when you can do what the Bible says and get what the Bible says you're supposed to have, I believe that's when you become qualified to teach something. Kenneth E. Hagin, Jesus told him in one of his appearances, he said, I allowed you to go through things that you went through so you could teach my people faith. Some 20 years ago, the Lord spoke to me one day and reminded me what he told Kenneth Hagin. And he said, I allowed you to go through some things and do some in some stuff. He said, so you could teach my people faith. In other words, it is not enough to know the Bible. You want to experience the Bible. You need to know how to experience the Word. If you're not experienced, you sit, what you got going is talk. You might have faith toward it, but you need to learn how to experience it, bring it to pass. If you can't bring the Word to pass, all you got's talk. You know, it's like turn around telling somebody about salvation and you can't get it. It's number one, is what you experience. The Lord said to me when I first got born again in teaching people, He said, the more you're confident about what I'll do, and that confidence is built through experience in the Word. He said, the more confident you are, he said, the more you can grip other people's hearts. See, I know this, sometimes ministers, they'll sit and speak the truth, but they can't grip somebody's heart because they have no experience in it. They can't speak at it with confidence. They don't have no boldness. That's the passive church. The passive church is the talkers of the Bible with no experience. With no experience. And people sit down, and what it leads people to? The kind of heart they have, passive. You're going to have the heart of the person you sit around and listen to all the time. That's what you're going to end up with. That's what you're going to end up with, the passive. I listened to Kenneth Hagin because he wasn't passive. The Lord told me, you don't go listen to a bunch of other stuff. You just stick close to him. Why? Because he wanted to develop something in me. Well, when the Lord told me, he said, allowed you to go through things, I could look back and see the things that he had done. It was one of the things, I got born again, and I was only born again a couple months. I've told this story. But this is one morning, really, when the Lord started to teach me to stretch my faith. It was not allowing me to just, you know, sit and just try to get by on a baby scale. And I was only born again a few months. But I I've told this story before. I'd always listen to Kenneth Hagin would talk about things with faith, healing, deliverances, and all kind of stuff. And he would always talk about acting on the Word. And I'd listen to these things, teachings on faith. And he'd talk about acting on the Word. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what does he mean to act on the Word? What do I have to do to act on the Word? You know, God, teach me this. I want to know, because it really gripped me when James said that, you know, faith without works or faith without corresponding action, it's dead. And there's a lot of people have dead faith. They believe things, but the reason it don't work, they've never done anything. They've never acted in line with the Word. So, I asked the Lord that. About a month later, I wake up in the morning. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, and I used to get up like, I'd get up like 5:30 in the morning. So, I woke up earlier. I was sick, man. I tell you, it was one of those jobs just, you know, it's just these cramps in your stomach. And I mean, they're just like, ugh, man. And I remember laying there in bed just thinking, oh, my. And I was laying there and I was thinking about like 1 Peter 2:24, and I was quoting it to myself. I'm just sort of saying that to myself. I'll say anything later in a bit. And I hadn't voiced this with my mouth. This thought just went through my mind. Well, I'm going to call off work sick, but I'm going to believe God for healing. That just went through my mind. I never said it. It just thought went through my mind. But all of a sudden, inside, I heard this voice say very clearly to me, if you call off work sick, you're going to stay laying in bed sick all day. Well, that ain't exactly what I wanted to hear. That isn't what I wanted to hear. You see, God's going to... I'm making a quote of faith of what I believe in the Word. But He's going to teach me acting on the Word, and this is going to stretch me. Because I had never done this. See, He's going to take me to something else. Then He said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24 is true? I quoted it back to Him and said, yes, Lord, I believe that. And He didn't just say, oh, you poor little thing, you just do, do, do. He said, well, if you believe that's true, why don't you get out of bed and act like it? And He spoke in that kind of a voice. See, the good shepherd ain't this passive little weenie whiner, oh, poor old you, you feel bad. See, I kept saying I wanted healed. He's trying to get me there. He's trying to get me out of the passive mode and get me into the active mode. He said, get out of bed. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't what my flesh wanted to do. I was feeling bad. But He is stretching me. See, I had to stop and say, do I really believe that I received healing? Do I really? See, because I'm not acting like I received healing. I'm planning on staying in bed. I'm planning on doing things that act like I'm sick. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. So, I got out of bed real cheerful. You know, when I got out of bed, I'll never forget. I was brushing my teeth, I was shaving, and my stomach cramps. I'm bent over. I'm shaving, not even looking in the mirror. I'm feeling bad. It's like, oh man. And I think, well, praise God, I'm going to work. And I knew by that time, don't say anything else other than you're healed and get in. And I went out and I got in the car and I drive into work. And by the time I got to work, every symptom had left my body. Everything stopped. And understand this, it was acting on the Word. See, if I would have stayed literally sick, what He taught me, He stretched me. He's trying to get me what I want. What He taught me that day became my survival after that. Anything that happened to me, I learned. See, this is one thing. This is why many people, it takes so long for them to get healed. It's because it takes them a long time to do anything. It takes a long time before they ever put their faith into action. The Lord told me how to do it. After that, things would happen to me. I never went one time. I had an ingrown toenail, and I worked and cut that thing out. It was really painful, but my foot was sore. I remember putting a shoe on, going to work. Oh, I put a shoe on, and it hurt. Oh, my God. But I declared I was healed, and I want to tell you what, it hurt. I remember driving to work. It wasn't bad driving to work. I wasn't standing on the thing. But I got out of the car and stepped out of the car, and it's like, oh, my, it hurt. Wow. My foot was sore. But inside of me, because I had learned to walk in this, there was an anger rose up. Was no passive guy on the inside. It wasn't some wimp on the inside. I remember standing beside the car in the parking lot, and I said, that is it. I am not limping around today. And I just put pressure. My foot started walking across the parking lot. I refused to limp. And I'm going to tell you what, I was in pain. But I said, I am not. I'm walking this thing. And until I hit the door of the building, every bit of pain left never came back. See, your actions. See, the Lord told me, He said, you'll do extreme things. If you want extreme stuff, you can't be this passive Christianity that you've been hooked to. The miraculous don't happen by the passive. You got to learn to step out there. You got to learn to stop and say, hey, hold it. We ain't going that direction. I'm not going to have that. You know? All I got to tell Wanda something, and just tell her anything the doctor would say. If the doctor would say to her, you couldn't wear a shoe, that'd be it. She'd be some mad. She likes shoes. She'd be wearing her shoes, don't you? Doctor told her she couldn't drive a car. She looked at me and said, Drive the car. Oh, you're going to wait 6 weeks to drive a car? She said, I'll be driving a car. Doctor saw her in 2 weeks and said, you could have already been driving a car as good shape as you're in. See, most people, I'm just telling you, most of you are too passive. You're too passive. You got to get down to where you believe this stuff is true. Is the Bible true or not? If a Canaanite woman who isn't even having a covenant with God can get her daughter delivered, what can Ed Gibson say under the new covenant and sit around and talk like, I got a problem? I know who the problem is. It's Ed. We don't believe the covenant. Just think of these. Not one of these people Jesus is ministering to saved. Not one. He ain't raising the dead. There's nobody born again. And they're believing God. See, we need to sit down. See, that's what I did when I was a young Christian. When I looked at Kenneth Hagin, I remember him telling his testimony. I just got born again. And I'm sitting there listening to a tape of him, and he's talking about his testimony. 16-year-old boy gets raised off of, by his faith, he believed God and got off of bed. And I thought, ain't no 16-year-old boy outdoing Ed Gibson. I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to say a 16-year-old boy could believe and I can't. I'd be ashamed. See, we don't have that aggressiveness in us to have the things of God to say, hey, nobody's stepping in my way. I'm going to have what God gives. And I'm not going to let the religious hold me back. I'm not going to let the ones who still want to play their little religious games and have their religious stuff and then say we want God's stuff. They ain't getting it. You might have to chase after. You might have to yell to God a lot. I yelled to God a lot. Lord, I need help. I need to know what to do. I need to... And everybody else standing around, no, maybe God don't want you to have that. Believe me, I went to a church that was full of those kind of people. Whether God really wants... Oh, they could talk like, you know, they believe God all kind of... When it come down to brass tacks, there wasn't no tax. Nothing stuck to them. But I want something. Amen. You know, they said there was something wrong with me mentally. They told me that church. They thought something was wrong with me mentally because I wouldn't go along with their plan and their ideas. The Bible, you got to accept some things. Everything that they wanted to accept, the Bible said you should. So one person said that I was too happy all the time. I was too happy. They said there was something wrong with me because I wouldn't worry. They actually tell me that. Something's wrong with me that I wouldn't worry. Worry's sin. I think there's something wrong with me. I do. I know this. If I start to worry, I'm not lining up with the Bible. Somewhere I'm in unbelief. Somewhere I'm not trusting. And I got to stop and say, hey, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. We can't go there. We can't go to that place. Why? Can't get into worry and get what I want. I'm not going to get what I want. Now, I can get a lot of people pat me on the back and say, I feel sorry for you, and we'll pray for you. And we'll worry with you. No, slap me in the back of the head and say, shut up, Ed, and get right. Get believing what God said. Knock it off. But see, we want to go somewhere. I'll tell you what, I'm in for going somewhere. I don't know about you. Now let me look. I want to show you, and I love the story of the centurion. We want to go there. This is in Matthew 8. I want to read to you about the centurion because I love this guy because he don't wait for Jesus to stretch him. He stretches. See, this is what you got to learn to do. If God always has to stretch you and stretch you, you got to come to the place where you're willing to stretch and he don't have to come and do it. See, we start off children, we make them stretch to learn. We make them stretch. A good child, we should bring them to the point where they stretch out to learn and we're not trying to always make them stretch. If you're always, the child always waits for you to stretch, you're a lousy teacher. You get them to the place where they can stretch. Now, I want you to get a hold of this because, and centurion, this guy is a centurion. He is a military commander. And we need to understand about this. One of the things that we're going to find out about him is like the Lord told me when I first got saved. He said, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the kingdom of God. He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you. See, military people got to be disciplined in the military. This is the great lacking church. Undisciplined people. Undisciplined. Don't know how to stand. Don't know how to make a stand. always passive. You got to get the place. You got to understand how it works. Military commander, you know, over men, he's going to understand a principle which he follows after, which his men follow after. And you got to learn this. If you're going to be successful at faith, you got to learn to do what is said without question. If the word says something, that needs to become your final word and not listening to what somebody else says. God tells you to do something, you got to learn to shut up and do it. And quit going and asking for opinions. You get a commander. Now, this is what this guy's success. This centurion. In verse 5 it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed.'" Now here's the key to this whole thing. This is the key. "For I also am a man under authority." He didn't say, "I'm a man in authority." I'm a man, I can personally say this, I'm a man under authority. What are you under authority to? Most people are under authority to themselves. That's why Christians have such hard lives and have hard times. They're under authority themselves. He said, "No, I'm a man under authority." In other words, the statement now that he's going to talk about is how he rules his men. Why? Because that's how his rulers rule over him. He's under authority. He's been given authority because he's under authority. Now, he said, "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." In other words, I tell people to do things, and they do it. How are you disciplined? How are you dealing in the areas of authority? See how people, you know, do in their workplaces and all they do is complain, gripe, and moan. They tell them to do stuff. I've learned. One of the things Jesus taught me when I got born again, I worked at Reese Candy Company as a sinner. Complained about everything and moaned and groaned. Got saved and found out I was the problem. It wasn't all the bad supervisors and the bad everything. That was my bad attitude. God had to change me. Because number one, supervisors still did do dumb stuff. But that was their job. They had to do it. They told me we were supposed to do it. We did it. That's why we did it. If it didn't work, that's their problem. It ain't my problem. My job wasn't trying to run the supervisor. That wasn't my job. My job was to do what they said, even though if I knew it wasn't going to work. I used to tell the people, "Work for me." See, I was a man under authority. I couldn't expect them to want to listen to me when I wouldn't listen. I'm going to reap what I sow. If they know I'm always running down my supervisor, they're going to be running down me. They're going to be knocking. They ain't going to be listening to me either. So, I had to learn that under authority and how it works. And the people that worked under me, I didn't have a bunch of problem with them. Now, if I'd have been a sinner and been in that position, it wouldn't have worked. I'll tell you. But I learned how the system works. And this man, he understands this. So he said the system, and by understanding this system, is why he said what he did. See, he knew Jesus don't have to come and do it. Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. He said, "You don't have to command it. The word's enough. Your word is enough to make sickness leave. Your word is enough." Did you know that? See, most people think they need something special. The most special thing you ever got was the word. That's the most special thing. Faith comes by the word. The word's enough. That's why the Lord would never allow me starting off to have people lay hands on me or anything like that for sickness or anything like that. He always made me stand on the word. He taught me the power of the word. See, I know the power of the word. The word's enough. I don't need anything more. The word is enough. There is much healing in the word as is in healing Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. It can't be any less. Him and the word are one. My words are spirit and they're life. We know that most of the church world don't know anything about the life of the Word, because we wouldn't have so much sickness in the church. Because the Word's life. Why isn't it bringing life? Because there's no faith in it. People don't have any faith in it. They don't understand the power of the Word. They never read these stories. They read these stories religiously, but don't know a thing about what they read. It's the power of this. This guy understood the power of the words. My words get jobs done down here. You just say the word. You don't have to come. You just say the word. This guy had the highest level of faith that Jesus run into, because Jesus turned around and said to this gentleman, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those following. Now he turns around to all of them, follow him. This is these 12 guys and the rest of them. There's a crowd following. He says, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In other words, I have never run into anybody, he said, in Israel. This is the covenant people. No covenant person has had as much faith as this soldier got, who's a Roman soldier, had more faith than all of God's covenant people. And I've seen that today too. He understood the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith is not gifts of the Spirit. The highest levels of faith aren't wonders and working, because God has special works through people. The highest level of faith is to believe the Word of God, and that's enough. That's the highest level of faith you can come to. Somebody that don't understand the highest level of faith can't teach it. The Word is enough. You need to come to the place where the Word, if the Word says it, that's enough for you. It's enough that God said. You come to that place, God said. We can pray for each other. We can do those things. But remember, you're never going to grow out till you, this is what the Word says. Here's what the Word says. That's where I'm standing. See, we have the prayer agreement that can do anything. We use a prayer of agreement in church, but usually it's worthless, because nobody's standing on the Word. Nobody really believes the power of the Word. That's what brings it to pass. That's what makes it miraculous. That's what I've always told people. You tell me where you can stand, and if I'll agree with you, I guarantee it'll be done. I've never ever had a person who agreed with me and actually stood in agreement. It didn't happen. It always happens. But you got to be in agreement. You got to be a place of faith that you're going to stand. This is why a lot of praying and stuff don't amount to anything. It don't do anything. There's a limitations. Don't ever get limited. These people, their faith. See, just like with this guy. How did this happen? His faith. He said, then Jesus, you jump down to verse 13, it says, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Just like you believe, you brought it to pass. I want you to understand that here this morning. It's how you believe. The woman with the issue of blood, she got it how she believed. The blind men got it how they believed. Do you understand that? See, people, well, whatever God, I get so tired of hearing, well, whatever God wants to do. You know what you just told me? Faithless? You ain't believing for nothing to happen. You just want it to happen. Wanting it to happen ain't faith. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can go touch him. Jairus said, if you can come and lay hands on my daughter, she'll be healed and won't die. So what did Jesus do? He didn't tell him, just believe the word. He went to his house. He got it like he believed. He had to go to his house, lay his hand on it, because that's where his faith was. This guy here, his faith was, you just say the word. I'm not worthy that you didn't come to my house. You just say the word. He got it like he wanted it. I don't see how the church goes over this stuff, because all of a sudden I've never reads and never sees it. I just go tilt. You know, sometimes my head just wants to go. How people, and we live in a country teaching people to read, and ignorance, and especially the Bible, is run rampant. People can't read words themselves. All they can do is think on the line of what somebody told them it was. Never read for themselves. Thank God I had a teacher who kept telling us, I don't care what I say, you go read the Bible and make sure it says it. If enough people read the Bible, a lot of their favorite teachers would never be their favorite teachers again. I'm just telling you. The word is a powerful thing. And it's about us believing. We're going to go on and look at other areas and that stuff. We want to get into this because you need to get it drilled into you, because you're going to have to drill it into other people. You're going to, look, this last days, it ain't going to be running around signs, miracles, and wonders and no word preached. It ain't going to be happening, don't you think? The places that still want to hear their other stupid preaching and don't want to hear the right stuff, it ain't going to be working. It's the power of the word. There is nothing greater than Jesus Christ gave the church his word. Jesus and the word are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word. We have these words, and the whole thing is we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you for this purpose, is to reveal the word. He can't manifest life in your mortal body when you're outside the word. He does it by the word. The word is life. He witnesses us and gives us revelation of the word to minister life to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's life in me. Hallelujah. There's no death in me. It's life in me. The word in me. Hallelujah. That's what's a working. Glory to God. The word is the minister of life. There is no death in the word. The word is all life. Hallelujah. So we want to walk and live in the life. In the life that's in the word. Hallelujah. These examples were put there. These people were put here. These were people who walked by faith. Jesus commended, specifically spoke. We're going to do some other ones we're going to be teaching. Because I want to get this across to you. Because the Holy Ghost is pushing me to get this across. You may have heard these things and heard them said. You ain't heard it enough yet. Amen. Till it becomes so natural to you. You guys hear me preach this on a Sunday. I've been preaching this thing for 2 weeks now. I've been looking at these guys for 2 weeks, and I can't get away with it. I go out and go for a run, and I'm out running. All I'm doing is thinking and meditating about these guys and these healings and that stuff. It just keeps coming. It keeps flowing up in me. It keeps coming up in me. That stuff is, the Holy Spirit's working. He's trying to take us to a level. He's trying to change. If you can't, you need to get it in on the inside. If you don't get it on the inside, you're not going to get a renewed mind. You need to get it in you so it's so strong in you that it starts leaking out into your brain and you start thinking that way from the natural one. That's the way you think. If it doesn't do that, it'll always be something you got on the inside, but you're always measuring it against what you got up here. You got to get to the point where this floods you, that this up here keeps going tilt, tilt. You got to get it up here where this thing up here is not running and dominating things. It's not ruling things. When you get up here, when something comes your way, when I look at people sick, the first thing I think about people when I see them sick, I think, God wants them well. I don't think, we ought to get them to a doctor quick. What do you think? See, most people think that the natural is what rules. I've never seen anybody, I don't care how bad, evil, or what they are, when if I see them, number one, I know God wants them saved, He wants them healed, He wants them delivered. That's the plan of God. That's it. See, we need to walk around where we live in a world that's dominated by fear. It's run by fear. You got to be able to walk around this world unafraid. When you see things happening, you can't be part of the problem and be afraid of what's going on. How bad things are getting. They're getting so awful. I tell you what, people get over into that stuff. I'm going to tell you what, I'm life in this world. I'm life and I'm light. Hallelujah. The devil ain't taking me out. He better watch it. He'll be nervous. See, you get a word, you walk and the word oozes from you. He gets nervous. He goes over there after the people that are afraid, the ones that are, you just got to get a little bit more faithless like we are. Come on, get over here in this. Come over in this camp. You got to use wisdom, I'm just going to tell you today, if I would have listened to the wisdom of people out around, I'm just going to tell you, I'm totally honest. I would definitely not be alive today if I listened to the wisdom of even ministers. I listened to the wisdom of the word. And I got the word into me. And when devil tried to move contrary, there was a lion on the inside. Do you have a lion on the inside? Or do you have just a lamb? Most people, most Christians, got a barefoot guy carrying a lamb. That's all they got. I got the lion of the tribe of Judah. I cast out devils. I'm the guy with the rod. I'll smack him on the head. I ain't no shepherd without a rod. That sucker's a weapon. And you ought to get it on the inside of you. Sickness and disease got to become a thing you hate. It's not something you sympathize with. You sympathize with it, you stay sick. You don't sympathize with it. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to you. That blood was put on the holies of heaven itself, so you don't have to be sick. Why would we tolerate it? We know the church is weak because the church tolerates sin. We've gotten the point they've opened the doors to sin of everything and any kind in the church today. And it's allowed to be here. We have spirit-filled ministers okay with homosexuality, adultery. They can't even stay married themselves anymore. They can't do anything, running around doing stuff. See, we tolerate sin. We tolerate it. We don't identify sickness. Like I told you before, Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He used to say, ain't a sin to be sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. Boy, you don't preach that and people like you. No, because all we know is sympathizing with weakness. We sympathize with it. We're not against people. I'm against sickness in them, and I want them to get mad at it, get down and see, tell them, say, hey, why do you want to stay that way? Well, maybe God wants me like this. Well, then quit asking me to pray for you and shut up. Quit wasting my time with religious stupidity. God wants you well. Get that in yourself. You're going to have a battle with other people. They're going to come along and think you're a nut. They've done it for years with me, my God. From the time that I worked at HB Reese Candy Company to the time I left in 1987, there's people just thought I was insane, and the ones that thought I was the worst were the other Christians. Because I wouldn't get sick with them, I'd get delivered, and they'd ask me, boy, you're really lucky. No, I'd just say, I'm saved. And that really always throw them because they claim to be Christian. I say, no, I'm saved. That's the big difference. A lot of people claim salvation, but I don't want to see it in them. What are you saved from? They say sin. Well, what did sin bring into this earth? Go read the curse. You get a look at everything that's brought in. And most Christians believe that's all ours today. That's ours. Folks, you're free in Jesus' name. You're free in Jesus' name. You're free in Jesus' name. Himself took your infirmities today. He did that. Just think about 2,000 years ago, He took your infirmities and He bore your sicknesses 2,000 years ago. He did that. He's not going to do that. He did that. He took your sin on the cross, but by His stripes you were healed. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. The word says that you're healed. Is the word true or is it not true? It's true. It's true. See, this is one of the things it is. And you get it in you. This is how you walk in joy and this is how you walk in peace. This is how you can't stand till you believe it. You have to come to the place that, praise God, I'm already healed. I'm not trying to get healed anymore. I'm not trying. I gave that up. I gave that up in 1980 trying to get healed. I gave it up. When I found out I was healed. And I gave that up trying to get healed. I gave it up trying to get God to do that for me. Because I found out I was. Well, if I was, then I am. And my body would say, yeah, but it sure don't seem like it. Whatever you're going to have, whatever's going to be you in you, the strongest belief, whether it's your mind of saying, well, my flesh still feels bad, or saying, no, the word's true. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I don't care if everybody's against me or what happens. You know, you just get out of here and say, people, you get over the years walking in love. You get in the line of the word. No matter what people do against me, I'm not going to fuss and fight with them. I'm not going to do that. I ain't going there. See, I believe in what the word says. See, if you don't let it become strong in you, and you come around, well, you just don't know what people say to me. You just don't know what they did. No, and don't tell me either. I don't want to hear it. I don't need to know what they did. I don't need to think bad like you do about them. Everything they did may have been wrong. Everything they did, that does nothing. Number one, I want my healing. I want my deliverance. That's what I want. Hallelujah. And I believe I'm healed. And I'm not going to let the devil carry something else in and make a roadblock in it. I ain't going to allow that thing. Uh-uh. No, I need my healing more than I need getting back at them. I want to walk in my health. See, and you get it in there. I'll tell you, it'll bring joy to you. When you get in line with the Word, you can be at peace and rest. There's things that are going on right now. When I sit down, I was thinking about it last night. I thought, you know what? If any time would be a good time to worry, it'd be now. But I said, you know, somehow on the inside of me, I can't get any anxiety over it at all. Now, my flesh will say things to me, but my inner man, the guy on the inside, the lion on the inside, he's laying down. He ain't even upset. He ain't worried about a thing. Anything gets in the way, he wants to eat it. That's what the lion does. The lion ain't messed, but the lion's laying down and rested. On the outside, it don't look like things are going right. On the inside, it's okay. And you know what I'm going to follow? On the inside. That's what I'm going to follow. I don't care what's going on the outside. On the inside, there's peace. Let me just say this. You know, Christians go all the time praying for peace concerning nations and not having war. What a waste of time. Amen. The Bible tells you, getting wars and rumors of wars, get over it. Peace ain't about not having wars going on. You can be in the middle of the war. You can be the guy, a soldier out there on the field. That don't mean you ain't at peace. You can have peace. Dear God, all this, well, we're going to bring everything and break it. There's only one thing going to bring everything back to peace. The devil has to get thrown off the earth and all the sinners got to die. And have people call themselves Christians who aren't. It's the only thing that's going to bring peace, natural peace, into the earth. But you can live in the middle of this mess down here if you'll get a hold of the Word. And you know what? Not have any kind of worries, not be afraid, not say, oh my God, I can't wait till Jesus gets me out of here. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you this morning. I thank you for a strong people. I thank you, Lord God, for a people who believe what the Bible says, that the Word is true, that Jesus Christ, the living Word, the impossible one to lie, he can't. He could never lie. And what he always said was true. And all that he carried out for us that the Scripture said is true. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, we're not looking for more blessings. We just want to know more about what you gave us. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many wonderful things that you've given us, so much you've done. And I want to thank you for health and soundness, Lord God. Lord God, Lord, I desire, my great desire is for these people to have a healing ministry. Hallelujah. To pick up the healing ministry that is theirs. And their ministry of life. Hallelujah. The ministry of life. Lord God, I want it in them. Lord, I want them to be full of it. Full of life. Full of soundness, health. Sound minds, Lord God. Have the mind of Christ. Lord God. Lord, your glory being able to work in its fullness through them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that there are wonderful rivers that flow. That there's no dams. There's no dams. There's just rivers that flow. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, a people that are just full of wisdom because they're full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Lord God, that they're wise in their decisions of life. They understand what's going on around them. Lord God, the Word becomes simple to them, Lord God. It's not some complex thing. Lord God, when they see what the Scripture, and they read Scriptures, they understand them, they comprehend them, they know what they mean. And Lord God, they can walk in them. Father God, they can put them to work, they can do them and have the great benefit and help others get the benefit of your Word. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you this day. Lord God, I believe surely we're stepping into some great stuff. Hallelujah. We're walking into it. Lord God, we're not eating cake and ice cream here, Lord God. Lord God, we're after the fruit of heaven. Hallelujah. We're after what heaven has to eat. We want what heaven has. We don't want, Lord God, Lord, we don't want to be patted and petted. We want to rise up and be those soldiers like the Apostle Paul said. Hallelujah. Being good soldiers. Hallelujah. Lord God, obedient to the Word, to obey the Word quickly, Lord God, and to walk and to live in it, Lord God. Lord, and to help others and to train others to walk in the Word, to live in the Word. Hallelujah. And come and walk in this wonderful place of health and soundness and wholeness. Lord God, a people of strong bodies, strong minds. Hallelujah. Lord God, full of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, doing signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. Hallelujah. And we thank you for, Father, all that you're going to accomplish, all that you're going to do in these last days. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going somewhere. Amen.